The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
Thanks to spiritmotorgroup.ie. With secure online payments, buying your next used car has never been easier. With Spirit Motor Group.
Now, as you've been hearing overnight, the US experienced the worst civil unrest in decades across dozens of cities. Tensions across the country have escalated since the African-American man George Floyd died last week, having been arrested by police outside that shop in Minneapolis. A postmortem has confirmed, two postmortems, there was an independent one which confirmed that he died of mechanical asphyxiation. The official postmortem, which has not been released, but leaks were suggesting that they were talking about whatever stimulants might have been in his system and underlying health issues. So a little bit of maybe disinformation there. The independent postmortem, the details of which were released last evening, indicated that there were no underlying health issues, and they will give their full report once they get toxicology back. But anyway, we all know that he had his neck and back compressed by an officer who is now charged with third-degree murder. After being criticised for fleeing to a bunker as protesters gathered outside the White House on Friday night, US President Donald Trump addressed the nation yesterday from the Rose Garden.
A number of state and local governments have failed to take necessary action to safeguard their residents. Innocent people have been savagely beaten, like the young man in Dallas, Texas, who was left dying on the street, or the woman in upstate New York, viciously attacked by dangerous thugs. Small business owners have seen their dreams utterly destroyed. New York's finest have been hit in the face with bricks. Brave nurses who have battled the virus are afraid to leave their homes. A police precinct has been overrun here in the nation's capital. The Lincoln Memorial and the World War II Memorial have been vandalized. One of our most historic churches was set ablaze. A federal officer in California, an African-American enforcement hero, was shot and killed. These are not acts of peaceful protest. These are acts of domestic terror.
So Trump vowed to order a military crackdown on protests while highlighting the importance for him of law and order.
Today I have strongly recommended to every governor to deploy the National Guard in sufficient numbers that we dominate the streets. Mayors and governors must establish an overwhelming law enforcement presence until the violence has been quelled. If a city or state refuses to take the actions that are necessary to defend the life and property of their residents, then I will deploy the United States military and quickly solve the problem for them. I am also taking swift and decisive action to protect our great capital, Washington, D.C. What happened in this city last night was a total disgrace. As we speak, I am dispatching thousands and thousands of heavily armed soldiers, military personnel, and law enforcement officers to stop the rioting, looting, vandalism, assaults, and the wanton destruction of property. We are putting everybody on warning. Our 7 o'clock curfew will be strictly enforced. Those who threaten innocent life and property will be arrested, detained, and prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. I want the organizers of this terror to be on notice that you will face severe criminal penalties and lengthy sentences in jail. One law and order, and that is what it is. One law. We have one beautiful law. And once that is restored and fully restored, we will help you, we will help your business, and we will help your family.
Meanwhile, at the time, inexplicably, 25 minutes before a curfew was due to begin, outside the White House, police fired tear gas on peaceful protesters. This is CNN anchor Don Lemon giving a stark warning.
Open your eyes, America. Open your eyes. We are teetering on a dictatorship. This is chaos. Has the president, I'm listening, is the president declaring war on Americans? What is happening here? He's saying he wants to protect peaceful protesters at the same time, sending law enforcement and military into the streets to push peaceful protesters back, to be aggressive with peaceful protesters. He is doing the exact opposite of what he said in that speech. I think the president is playing a very, very dangerous game here. There are a lot of Americans who are out on these streets who are upset, who are frustrated, who are angry. Again, I am not condoning violence at all. And I hope that they remain peaceful, but I hope that they stand up and fight for their rights to peacefully protest in this country. But he's playing a very dangerous game because this will backfire.
So that was CNN commentator Don Lemon. We're joined now by Professor of International Affairs at the University of Birmingham, editor of EA Worldview, Scott Lewis. Scott, good morning.
Good morning to you, Pat.
We saw last night, the firing of tear gas and other weaponry at the people who were protesting outside at the White House. And I mentioned that this began 25 minutes before the curfew was due to begin. And the reason for moving against the crowd became very clear a few minutes later as the president went on a walkabout.
Right. This entire episode was orchestrated, Pat, for a photo opportunity. It started earlier in the day when Trump told governors that you have to dominate protesters, not dominate the streets, dominate protesters. He then makes the White House appearance where you heard his remarks. The move against the peaceful protesters who were just outside the White House in Lafayette Park was coordinated with that. They were tear gassed, rubber bullets were fired, riot control flare munitions were used. He could then go across the street to St. John's Church, where there was a fire that was set in earlier clashes on Sunday, so he could pose with a Bible. That was the extent of this. It was a pose, in other words, Pat. He has not yet ordered the military onto the streets, but it is a pose that could have dangerous consequences. Because
now, he has been criticized by the bishop who has responsibility for that church and also by the head of the evangelical church in the United States. So if he expected religious leaders to rally around because he was holding a Bible, that has not been the result.
No, because it doesn't. The need right now, Pat, and here's an essential backdrop. The vast majority of these protests are peaceful, in contrast to what Trump just said. There have been incidents where buildings have been burned. There have been incidents where police cars have been overturned. But there have been many incidents where police have fired on protesters as well. But that's a minority of what's happening. Trump is trying to convert this into the majority of protests are violent, so he can come in and try to play the tough guy. Because remember this essential backdrop. This is the man who only 3 days after George Floyd was killed in Minneapolis, the homicide which started all of this, who said, when the looting starts, the shooting starts. This is the man, Donald Trump, who said on Saturday that vicious dogs and ominous weapons would be used against protesters, not just lawbreakers, against all protesters. Now, what you have is an effect, and I just want to be blunt here. You have one man's ego versus people across the United States, white, black, Republicans, Democrats, people of all classes and all faiths, who want to deal with issues of equality and justice. But for Donald Trump, the priority is not to carry out dialogue and to calm things down. It's to try to whip up more division because he's banking on it till you get re-election in November.
And that calculation that this will help him in some way to get re-elected, he doesn't have a foreign war to make him look macho. You know, he's not going to land on any aircraft carrier wearing a uniform like George W. Bush. Is this his war, a domestic war, to try to make him look like a great leader of men and women?
Well, remember, this isn't the only front on which Donald Trump will try to declare hashtag winning. But that idea of hashtag winning, his domestic issue of the economy, is in trouble, in part because of coronavirus. And of course, his attempt to say hashtag winning over a coronavirus that he denied was a threat up until March, that's now taken more than 105,000 American lives, with 1,000 Americans dying each day. So Donald Trump was clearly on the defensive, and his advisors over the last few days have been split. Some of them, including his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, said, look, you need to calm things down. You need to make a national speech. But other advisors went and told him, you need to play out this, quote, law and order message. Even if Donald Trump is provoking disorder and maybe acting illegally, you need to declare law and order, just like Richard Nixon did during the Vietnam War. And that's the way you get the second term.
It's extraordinary. I mentioned when I was chatting to the hosts of our previous program, a quote from CNN last evening. I think it was Anderson Cooper said that the last time there was a curfew in New York was in 1943, and that was caused by the problems which arose when a white policeman shot a black man, an innocent black man. So it's extraordinary that, you know, race has not gone away, even so many decades on, after the civil rights movement, after a black man occupying the Oval Office. These fissures run very deep in the American psyche.
I think two things are really important, Pat, so that it isn't just Trump, Trump, Trump. The first is, as you've just noted, racial violence, racial inequality has been an issue in America, well, since it was created in the 18th century. It was there in the 1960s when I was born. We hoped the civil rights movement would deal with it. It brought advances, but it didn't bring a full solution. We hoped after the Los Angeles uprising in 1992, when a black man, Rodney King, was beaten by police, we would find a way forward. We didn't get there. And of course, in 2014, when a series of African-American men, unarmed men, were killed by police, leading to the Black Lives Matter movement, it highlighted that this wasn't just a question of police violence, but of economic and social issues, healthcare, education, housing, getting a decent income. In other words, remove Donald Trump and we still have to deal with those issues. But here's what's different in 2020, Pat. Republican and Democratic presidents before this did try. They may have failed, but they did try to make a difference and to bring progress. Donald Trump has no interest in dialogue and progress here. Donald Trump's in it for Donald Trump, and that means he isn't trying to heal the division. He feeds off of it, and that's what really worries me. But having said that, Pat, the important note, the large majority of these demonstrations are peaceful because people in communities across the U.S., east to west, north to south, want to find a better way. And it is from a time like this that we can get advance, but it's going to come from the grassroots level, from the community level.
But isn't it likely that that mixture of people who have been protesting, and as you said, many of them peaceful, and again, there were great moments where, for example, the sheriff in Flint, Michigan, took off his helmet, put down his baton and said, I want to turn this protest into a parade, and walked with the people who were protesting. Mixture of black and white people. But the ordinary people who have made up the bulk of these protesters, if they see the National Guard heavily armed on the streets of their towns and cities, are they likely to stay at home, leaving only those who are the most militant on the streets, and thus creating that self-fulfilling prophecy about thugs and hooligans?
I mean, we have seen in Minnesota, for example, which of course is where George Floyd was killed, the National Guard were deployed over the weekend. The clashes that had occurred there, the violence that had occurred there in some of the protest has diminished. So it's not just the case that it leads to basically a militarization of the conflict. It's different if Donald Trump deploys the U.S. military, not just the National Guard. That's what stokes this division. But let me tell you another story, Pat, which gives me hope. My grandfather was a police officer. He was an assistant chief of police in Lexington, Kentucky for 34 years. Yesterday, in that town where he served, black and white across communities, the police chief of Lexington, Kentucky, he also knelt with protesters and said, we've got to find a better way forward. So if those stories are happening across the country, And the more that we get away from, let's be honest, the autocratic, egotistical statements of one man to look at what millions want in America, that's where you get a ray of light.
If this is Donald Trump's strategy to deflect, I mean, the COVID-19 outbreak is continuing. Some parts of the economy have been opening up, and we shall see in a week or two whether or not those reopenings have worked. But what is happening at the moment is certainly a deflection. But how is this likely to play? Because we know that his base is almost immovable. I mean, they will support him come what may, but he actually needs a chunk more than his base to get reelected.
I want to stop talking about his base, Pat. And the reason I want to is you're quite right to say, look, you know, Donald Trump's approval ratings before the coronavirus crisis, during it at this point, have remained almost steady at 43% to 44%. So there are Americans who support him. Some of my relatives support him. But the more we talk about his base, we make that the priority in terms of what we talk about when looking at America. The fact of the matter is, this isn't just an issue of one nation, state by state. You're talking about people who are dealing with economic, social issues, who are dealing now with this pandemic in what is probably the most serious crisis to affect this country. Well, probably going back to the Great Depression of the 1930s and World War II. And so to simply view it as the fact of that Trump can go in and whip up the base in 2016 is far too narrow a point of view, when it is not only the president, but both houses of Congress that face elections in November. This is a question about decency. It's a question that crosses party lines, and it's a question of whether people will pursue decency and tolerance in terms of where they vote and what it leads to. I have to be honest with you. I think if Donald Trump does get a second term, 4 years in office, I think it is going to be dark times in America, but that is not inevitable. And it is especially not inevitable if we take this conversation beyond him.
I'm reading some of the texts coming into me. This one says, I'm genuinely worried for my family and friends in America. Even if this goes no further and the U.S. soldiers do not turn on the people, at the very least, how can America come back from this divide? Would anyone want to live in a country so fundamentally split? This has been boiling up for decades, and the rapid evolution and corruption of the internet, along with the erosion of standards in media and government in the 24-hour news cycle, have led us to this point. This is heartbreaking and shocking, even if somehow it was inevitable. You know, everything that we all grew up with believing about America has been turned on its head, not only in the last 4 years. You can go back further when the erosion of the middle classes particularly started, where now a child of what used to be the middle class can't afford to go to university, where jobs are badly paid and no job security, and where the bosses are paid many, many, many multiples of what people on the shop floor are paid. So this has been coming.
Yeah, I mean, the fact of the matter is that America is a wounded country right now, that even as we have come out of the 2008-2009 recession, where there has been economic progress, many people have been left behind, that those racial issues haven't been fully dealt with. But at the same time, there is an American system, which while flawed, which while it is not lived up to the ideas in many cases, is there. So the question at this point is whether people within that system, security forces, law enforcement, the military, state agencies, city agencies, and people across the country basically decide they want to look for a way forward. So let me tell your listener, I'm worried too. I've got relatives across the country. But my cousin in Lexington, Kentucky wrote yesterday, get smart, get educated, talk to your neighbors, respect them. And it's that type of attitude we've seen in the past. We saw it in the 60s with Martin Luther King. We've seen it in other movements across the country looking for rights for all people and justice. And the system is there to enable it if this man doesn't tear it down. So while being worried, hold out that hope at the same time, and get smart and talk to folks.
Some more of the text. After the unholy walkabout, the peaceful protesters were kettled, cable-tied and removed from the scene. A step too far, one hopes. Another one critical of us, using CNN as a reference, says it all about your reporting standards. Next one, we are witnessing the end of the American empire. That used to be a prediction. Now it feels like a truism. This one, supporting Donald Trump, he clearly said he doesn't have a problem with peaceful protest. The military will only be used if they're needed to deal with the violent ones. Stop twisting it. Well, I wasn't really twisting it because it appears that he doesn't have the power to send in the US military, if you like, the national army into the states. That if the governors, for example, say, no, we're not using the National Guard, we're going to handle this differently, he actually doesn't have the power. I think there was a line in one of the reporting pieces, Donald Trump is not a dictator because he doesn't have these powers. Scott.
There is an 1807 act called the Insurrection Act in which he could deploy the military for law enforcement. It was used in the last case in 1992 after the Los Angeles uprising when Rodney King was beaten by police. So he could technically try to call out the military, but I don't think it works. And here's why I don't think it works. And let me respond to your listener who said, look, he supported peaceful protest. No, he hasn't. Donald Trump wrote of all protesters that they were, in all caps, thugs. Donald Trump has written falsely that these protests are led by a group of almost a larger than life group called Antifa now. If you look at those people who are on the streets, black and white, in their tens of thousands, now hundreds of thousands, they're not extremists, they're not radicals. They're people who are looking for a better way. And I think, again, it is darkest before the dawn in some cases. In 2018, people tend to forget that this is less than 2 years ago, that there was a wave of new people elected to state and federal office to talk about issues like healthcare, education, and to talk about issues like police in communities, because Americans did not want to follow that Trump path of destruction. Well, here we are 2 years later with a pandemic on top of this. And the fact is that as Martin Luther King said in 1968, protest is the mobilizing of people for justice. The respect for protest is the mark of a country, the mark of a country which can progress, not one which is going towards its downfall. That progress is there if people remember that George Floyd should be the last African American to be murdered by police forces on video, and that George Floyd is the last person of any color who should suffer that fate, and that Donald Trump's statements are peripheral to that wish. If Donald Trump is the problem and not the solution, then the rest of us step up to become that solution.
Scott Lucas, thank you very much for joining us on the program.